while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Okay, so there's two main points I want to bring out. There are other points that will come out, but there are two things that I want to share with you today out of the passage that was read. One, in the middle of life, God shows up. In the middle of life, we're going on about our business, and God shows up. Secondly, is your insignificance is not an obstacle to God. No matter where you think you are, or whatever your demeanor, background, that's not an obstacle to God. Okay, so we have heard the nativity story time and time again. And believe me, I love Christmas. I love the readings, the scripture readings. I love the carols. I love, you know, the feeling that you get with it. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having our caroling service. And I'm just looking forward to it because, you know, you read from the book of Isaiah and you read Matthew, you know, all these different accounts of the birth of Jesus. And I'm just looking forward to it because from little growing up in church, we've always heard it and we've always looked forward to hearing about the goodness of God. And now Luke has written his account. Now, the book of Luke, for those who may not know it, is one of the three synoptic gospels. The three synoptic gospels being Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, those three books, they seem to tell the story from a similar point of view. And that's why it's called synoptic. John now, he takes a totally different approach. Now, if you look at the stories, they're listed in similar manner. They may be told differently because they're addressing to different crowds, but they are similar in how they're laid out. So Luke now, he was writing to someone, one of the two books that we know that he wrote in the Bible. That's Luke and also the book of Acts. And he was writing to Theophilus. So if we look also in the book of Acts, he addressed it to Theophilus. And he was relaying the story of Jesus to him. And he made this big announcement about, this is about Jesus. This is about our soon coming king. Well, actually he was king already because he had already been born. And by then he had gone back to heaven. But now he's writing his account. So the story now shines into Nazareth, where there was this young lady. She was promised to be married to a young man by the name of Joseph. Now, if you notice initially when you're reading the text, she was not named initially. They just keep referring to her as a virgin. So, why is it they did not name her first? But then eventually, the writer got to naming her Mary. So, it talks tells the story about how this angel visited her. And decided to greet her. Now, if we read the scriptures coming down, normally, when a stranger, especially a man, or in the form of a man, turns up, who does he greet? Usually a male person. According to Jewish culture, A man does not come up and say hello to a young lady like that. It is not the thing to do. And again, it was a man's culture. Women were supposed to be subservient. According to Eastern culture, they were more possessions than anything else. And if you look through history, you will find, and even in the Bible itself, whenever a woman is mentioned, it is because she did something great or contributed to something great. We look at Rahab. She was mentioned because she was also an ascendant of Jesus. But also, she was the one who was the key for the children of Israel to get into the city. We talk about Esther. She was Queen Esther. She found favor in the king's sight. And she was able to save the children of Israel. And we could name others coming down. Ruth and many others. So they were not really considered unless they did something that stood out in history. However, Mary, being a young lady, now, in Jewish culture, someone from the age of 12, you are now regarded as an adult. From the age of 12, so we don't know how old she was. She probably was 12, maybe she was in her teens. We don't know. Our accounts, we are unable to tell, unless we're going to go into other readings to find that. But she saw herself as insignificant. The only thing she knew, she was waiting to get married to Joseph. Because by now, all the dowry was paid. Now, some cultures, some of our cultures, we still pay dowry, don't we? Yes. And who does it? It is the bride's family who pays that dowry. I mean, some of us here in the Western culture, we do it ourselves. We come together as a couple and we pay everything ourselves. That's true. And some of us can tell how much our wedding cost and all of that. But especially a lot from, and especially the Eastern culture, a lot of married couples do not know what their wedding cost. It's true. And if I go around, I may find somebody here who's able to tell me the same thing. So that was already paid. The marriage bond was paid. And now he's engaged to be married to Mary. Now Mary is just living her own little life now as a young virgin, keeping herself for her Joseph. Because that's her bloke. That's her fella now, yes. And she's just keeping herself for him. And somehow, this stranger turned up. Hail. Or shall I use a modern language? Hello. I'm sure she looked at him strangely. If she would look at him like my mother, she would really give him a bad look. Who are you talking to? And she felt out of place because why is this man, it seems, coming to talk to her? Now, that was not the type of culture where a man just go out and chat up a woman in the street. It was not like that. It was very old-fashioned, and we have to talk about old-fashioned now, where one person, the man who wants to get married to a woman, will go to the parents and ask permission. Or maybe his parents will go to her parents. You remember when Isaac was supposed to find a wife? Who found the wife? It wasn't him. His father sent the servant. When Moses found a wife, He did not ask, but he did something great. And then the father said, okay, you can marry my daughter because you saved her. Just to say this, bring the story to light. Moses met Zipporah after he fled from Egypt. And when he stopped at this well, he saw when the young ladies came to get water and the shepherds were chasing them away. And he stepped in. And when the father saw that they had gotten home quickly, he was asking the question, why you got home so quickly? Because it's not the norm. Oh, an Egyptian saved us. Then Jethro sent for him. That's how Moses got his wife. So now little Mary was keeping herself for Joseph. And this angel appeared to her. Now, what Luke said and reminded us of the previous section of the chapter, where Elizabeth, her older cousin, her elderly cousin, the Lord had spoken to her. Now, it says 6 months, which means 6 months after Elizabeth had her news. Now she's getting her news. And the angel is able to say, well, Luke is able to tell us that this is the timeline between them. So Elizabeth had her miracle and is just waiting for him to be born. There's no way Mary could have known because Elizabeth was now in isolation. Sometimes we don't know what's happening around us. Because sometimes God literally has it hidden there for a reason. Sometimes there's a deliverance that is happening to a family member. But somehow you're out of contact for that moment until God says, listen, this is time for you to know about it because my name has to be glorified here. Now, one thing I need to make clear before I continue. God, his name has to be glorified at all times. It has to be glorified in our lives. And if it's not glorified in our lives, it will be glorified in our death. Serious things. So 6 months later, she is now getting her news. And Gabriel, well, he did not tell her that he's Gabriel, but the writer does tell us it was him. The same angel that appeared to Zechariah. That's the husband of Elizabeth. And this was down in Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is one of those places you don't really hear scripture taking much notice of Nazareth until after Jesus was born in Nazareth. And the scripture does ask, can anything good thing come out of Nazareth? It means it was not one of those preferential places. Nobody wanted to live there unless they had to. It was a little farming community up in the country. It was quite rough, it seems, in those communities. The mentality there may not be that great. They're not educated people. They're not accustomed to the finer things in life. And that reminds me of some of us today. We may not see ourselves as being exposed to certain level of education or maybe to live in certain places because some people don't like to live up in London. It may be Park Lane or somewhere up that side. But they're living in Pollard's Hill. And sometimes you may ask, can anything come out of good thing come out of Pollard's Hill? I'm glad you know that yes, you can. Because God will work anywhere. There is no boundaries for him. And regardless of how little you think of yourself, God can work in your life. He loves you. And he's is concerned about every detail in your life. In spite of what the world may say about you. Because people may talk you down also. Because the rest of Israel, they didn't want to hear about Nazareth. Ooh, Nazareth. They're down there. As a matter of fact, Galilee in itself was not one of those great places, so to speak. And that's why on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and all of the disciples were there speaking in all these different tongues and all of that, these very learned people were amazed. Oh, these Galileans. Oh, how are they speaking in languages that we understand from elsewhere? How in God's name did they learn that? What qualifies them? And people will ask that question, what qualifies you? What qualifies you to speak of God? What qualifies you to go out and witness? What qualifies you to come and do good in the society? What qualifies you to work in church? But God is a God of favor. And in spite of who you are, he works in your life. Glory to God. So in the conversation now, because Mary was in doubt, and the scripture said she was vexed. Let me use that terminology. And you saw the expression on my face earlier when I said, who are you talking to? Because it was not the norm. But somehow, the angel had to convince her, listen, you are highly favored. You have favor. God has given you favor. And what is favor? Favor is something that you didn't earn. It means God wants to do something in your life. He's giving you a gift. He's giving you something that you cannot pay for. And sometimes favor does happen in our lives. Because sometimes we get some gifts from somewhere. And we're wondering, my God, how did this happen? I can't afford this. I couldn't have done this on my own. But God has allowed that favor to happen to you. Sometimes it's a matter of healing. Someone prayed and you really received your healing. You overcame that illness. And you're able to come to church and testify. Oh, we prayed and I got better. Isn't that true? Yes. So God is a God of favor. So it says, she's highly favored. And we need to understand, it is God who chooses to give favor. Not man. Whenever God decides to give you favor, nobody can stop it. Whom God bless, no man curse. And you need to understand, we all need to understand, that whenever God decides to open a door, nobody can close it. That is why Michelle Williams sang the song, When Jesus Say Yes. Nobody can say no. Hallelujah. She must have had some experience why she can sing that song. Hallelujah. Sorry, I might get excited. So, you know, I'm Pentecostal. So please don't mind me. I'm trying to calm down a little bit. So she was receiving God's grace based on his sovereign action. That is favor. And then the Lord said, now, I am with you. The Lord is with you. Now that reminds me of when Joshua was called, he was commissioned to be the leader of the children of Israel after Moses died. And the Lord repeatedly said to him, If you read the book of Joshua, I am with you. And he kept saying, because sometimes when we get into certain position, we need to understand God is with us. Sometimes when we get to certain places or on some journey, we need to know that God is with us. Otherwise, we're going to be scared. We get into some frightful situations and we need to understand God is with us. And when we recognize that he's with us, that changes everything. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory. I wish the Lord is with me all the time. You know, there's an old song that says, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arms around me thrown. Then my soul will fear no evil. We say ill because the miss out V out of it. And it says, let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still. Hallelujah. So he gives us protection if he gives us favor. Glory to God. Yes. So he opened up this revelation now to Mary, because yes, the conversation has started, but she knows now she has favor. But she does not know that she's going to be with child. Sometimes God puts us in an impossible situation. We do not know why. But only in the end, sometimes we recognize, oh, this is why he's done that. Because now she's going to be put in what we call an uncomfortable situation. Remember, she's not married. She's a virgin. Yes. She's waiting for her bloke, Joseph. Yes. So she's not living with anyone, apart from maybe her parents. And for her to be pregnant, and if that comes out publicly, what a scandal that would have been. And sometimes we find ourselves in a precarious position where we know that it should be God's will, but it's uncomfortable. We know that, yes, he said he's with us, but why is it feeling so strange? And how she came to accept, because she was asking all these questions now. So how is this supposed to happen? I've not known a man. I've never slept with anybody. I'm not married. I'm still waiting on Joseph. Whenever he comes, then yes, I will go with him. How will that happen before then? And the angel said to her, listen, the Holy Spirit will come on you. He will come upon you. He will overshadow you. Sometimes your deliverance, the Holy Spirit will just come and overshadow you. Sometimes that change that you're waiting for, the Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you. And he will change that event in your life. Some of us have been praying for many years. Some of us have been going through our valley experience for many years. But God, he has his time to show up and overshadow you. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit will come upon her. But then she's wondering why and how. Then the angel said, well, your older cousin, yeah, little cousin, she's 6 months. And she's like, what? 6 months? She's barren. Oh, she was barren. You mean was? I've known her all my life. She can't have any children. She has one coming now. Wow. Sometimes people may know you all their lives and know that you're in this little box and not realizing that God is about to shift something in your life and take you out that box. And because they've actually contained you in it. So they might call you the Baron Sharon. That's the name they probably have given to you. You remember Hannah? Back in 1 Samuel? It's the same thing. She was teased by Penina, or Penina, some translations call her. And the society was like that. Her husband was a priest, but she was seen as a barren soul. But God can get rid of that barrenness, church. It may seem as if it's not happening at all, but God can change a situation in your life. He's about to turn it around for somebody. I don't know who it is, but God is about to turn your life around. You've been going at this for a while, and you're thinking, oh God, I'm giving up now. I don't see any change to it. But sometimes God is just around the corner, just waiting, just to turn your life around. Somehow it reminds me of this song that, you know, it says, it won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. Sooner or later, it will turn in my favor. It's turning around for me. So it's turning around for you. It's turning around for you. Hallelujah. So, in the conversation, Gabriel made 7 predictions about Jesus. Because now she realizes she's going to be with child. And she's now accepted upon hearing that Elizabeth is already with child. Somehow she's getting excited. And sometimes we may not believe our deliverance is coming until we hear that somebody else is getting their deliverance. Somebody else who may have been in a similar position to us. Because God is doing a new thing somewhere. Sometimes you may be waiting at that job for a long time. And then you realize, oh, Freddie over there got a job. Oh, now I'm going to get a job. Because, yes, there's hope. There's hope because now you see that something is happening. And sometimes we need to see some of these miracles in our lives. We see it happening somewhere else. Now it's time for me. So Gabriel made 7 predictions. So Gabriel announces that Mary, an unwed virgin, will conceive. That's the first thing. Secondly, what he said, you're going to call his name Jesus. Why? She didn't ask. But you're going to call his name Jesus. Third one, this one will be great. Now, not every time you hear a word come in, you hear something about being great or anything like that. Because sometimes God sends a word, probably through somebody you never met on the street, and tell you something that's going to happen to you, something good that's about to happen in your life. But he said, this one is going to be great. And when God says it's going to be great, believe it. It's going to be great. The fourth one, he will be called the Son of the Most High. And this identity is similar to Son of God. If we look in verse 35, where the meaning will be clarified. The fifth one, the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. Now, that's a major promise. And already the Lord is saying David is his father. Now, she was not from the house of David. Joseph was. However, because he comes now under the house of Joseph, he comes in the house of David. Amen. The two last ones. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And the last one, his reign will have no end. So, wow. After hearing all of these things, probably our head was spinning around and around like that. Because sometimes when God reveals himself to us, it probably is too much. Do you remember when Jesus was in the boat? If we read in Mark, the book of Mark, I think it was Mark chapter 6, somewhere thereabouts. When Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm came and when they called him and he came out very calmly and looked at them and said, "Why are you worrying yourself?" And just spoke to the storm. And as one translation said, the storm just, well, it just went breathless. You know, like when somebody gets hit in the tummy and it's like they're just left breathless and they can't breathe. That's how the storm seemed to have stopped. And then they start asking, "What kind of man is this? Who is this?" And it's the same thing. Now she's wondering, "What is this?" Then she asks the question, "How will this be? How is this going to happen?" It's not that she's going to ask, "How can it happen?" She's asking, "How will it happen?" Because now she is cognizant or aware that it will happen. She's asking, "How will it happen?" And then the angel is able to tell her about the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to recognize that within the scriptures, we see where barren womb have been opened more than one time. But never before or after we've seen a virgin birth in the scriptures. We could search other writings that surround the Bible, and we do not see that either. Now, a lot of us, we have to do reading around all these other books that are there, including the Septuagint and all of them other books, which we literally are some of the same writers from the Bible. And we do not see it. But what God is saying to her, whatever is physically impossible, I'm about to make possible in your life. Whatever seems so far-fetched to you, I'm going to make it happen in your life. It seemed to be out of your grasp, but I'm going to put it right there in your palm. And in spite of how everything might seem, I'm about to just switch it around for you. Glory to God. That's refreshing. Because God is the God of the impossible. God is a God, in spite of how insignificant you might feel, he's the God who still makes you significant. He placed you in high places. Glory to God. Reverend Jackie McCulloch, she wrote a song back in the 1990s, and it says, "He has placed me where I belong." We sing the hymn, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's table land." He's putting us on a higher plane. We're not just little Ken, no. But I'm great in the sight of God. Ah, I'm a priest. I'm a king. I'm royalty. Oh, yes. I, in spite of how the situation may seem around me, oh, God is going to open doors for me. In spite I might not see the meal for this evening, but I know I have my meal in Jesus' name. And not just that meal, I have subsequent meals. And some of us, I could go around the room and I know there'll be testimonies upon testimonies of people where God has just switched it for them. Oh, you're going on a trajectory and it seems as if you're going for doom, but God just changed it. Hallelujah. So her virginity and her background, it was not an obstacle for God. God does not know boundaries. I can recall a part of Mark again when Jesus actually crossed the sea. They went off course, but he decided, listen, this is where I need to go. And he kept going into these Gentile territories. And he went at one point into the cemetery just to meet this man who, that's where he was supposed to stay. He's possessed with legions. He was stark raving mad. He had super strength. He could rip chains just like that. And Jesus said, listen, it's his time. He did not tell the disciples straight away. But then it was afterwards they recognized that, listen, Jesus knows no boundaries. He went into Samaria for the Samaritan woman. God knows no boundaries. Don't think that there is any corner in your life that God cannot go to. He's concerned about it. In spite of what it is, that hidden little thing there, yes, it's poking you in the side and it's bothering you all these years. God is concerned. Glory to God. I'm coming down. So we need to recognize the God that we serve. We need to recognize that when we stand up for God also, that sometimes we look strange. When we decide to accept what he asks us to do, we might look different in society. We're going to stand out in probably a negative way because we dare to be different. And especially in the society that we're living in, when you decide to live for Christ, you are choosing to be different. Hallelujah. So God will show up at any time. Yes, you're going on all unconcerned and living your life and being the little virgin or whatever it is. But God, he will turn up whenever he chooses. And sometimes it might seem that he's interrupting your life, but he's interrupting your destiny because he wants a better destiny for you. And lastly, your insignificance again is not an obstacle to God. It is not an obstacle to him. God, he loves to work in everybody's life in spite of who you are. You could be in the Buckingham Palace. You could be down in Pollard's Hill. You could be here in the UK. You could be over in Somalia or any other country around the world. But God, he's interested in you. He's interested in your situations. He's interested in your life. He's interested in all the things that are besetting you because he wants to make a difference in your life. God bless you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.